Hello, it's The Yearbook. I'm your host, Doug. It's a podcast sportscast for nurses and flight attendants. This is true. One of the local dance schools for their recital, they're going to have the kids wear for their musical number, they're going to have the kids wear, of all things, flight attendant costumes. You can subscribe. You can listen to us almost anywhere. You can contact us at saysintheyearbook@hotmail.com. That's the full name of the podcast, saysintheyearbook@hotmail.com. If you're not familiar with sports yearbooks and you don't know what the hell we're talking about, we mentioned yearbooks and media guides quite a bit in the podcast. Sports yearbooks and media guides, which are essentially the same, are mostly the same as high school yearbooks, except sports yearbooks are meant for use before the season and during the season. They're not released after a season. It's not a review of the season. It's a preview of an upcoming season. In general, sports yearbooks and media guides have all kinds of statistical information and team histories, player bios and headshots, coaching staff bios and headshots, just everything you'd ever want to know. You can often buy them at the games. And they're released not by everybody, but many international, professional, college teams, minor league teams release yearbooks and media guides, even high schools in some cases. So just in case you weren't familiar about what the heck we were talking about, when Clemson won its second national championship in 3 years, like more than 2 weeks ago, it was 3 weeks ago, I told you, we've been away, all these stories are old. They again overcame one of the great obstacles in college sports. Clemson also won the 1981 national championship, a modern times big power school with a lot of money and a big conference, the ACC. But in the next three decades, the Tigers crossed over into the category of big schools and big conferences who really have no shot at a national championship. Just for an example, take the Pac-12 conference. Every school in that league has money and big league membership, but maybe four of the schools have serious national championship potential, honestly. As for the other eight, just for example, don't get ticked off. If Stanford or Oregon State go undefeated and win the league, which would be cool, they would be in the playoff, yes, and they would have a shot, yes, at the title. But those odds are still very long, and it really hasn't come close to happening. Clemson had become a well-known football school that time had passed by. This is the same hole that Nebraska fans are hoping their university can climb out of right now. The Huskers were an annual contender all the way through the mid-90s, winning it all three times in the mid-90s. But after 20 years, critics now think Nebraska can no longer strike fear in opponents, and people love the trendy new argument that the big-time talent is literally not close enough to Nebraska for Nebraska to win. How does this happen to schools coming off championships? Who knows? Those schools didn't strike while the iron was hot. Lackluster recruiting, lackluster budgets, lackluster coaches, bad decisions, bad luck, good decisions that didn't pay off. Some other titan stood in the way. Clemson was still playing on national TV and winning in the 90s and 2000s, but they were no longer considered in the national title conversation. Ever. And the Tigers seemed doomed to the same status as fill-in name of also-ran university here. That is until, ironically, they hired a guy no one had ever heard of, Dabo Swinney. The hire from way outside where we were seemed really uninspired, real original. Just give up and name the interim coach the head coach. But the Tigers knew what they had in Swinney, and the move paid off eventually. 1,000 years ago, Tom Landry had 6 non-winning seasons with the Cowboys before he became Tom Landry. Almost 1,000 years ago, Bill Parcells, there's that name again, was nearly fired after his first season before he became Bill Parcells. Swinney's situation was not like that, but it did look unpromising. He was 4-3 as basically the interim coach in 2008, then had 2 decent bowl seasons, followed by a 10-win season in 2011, followed by an absolute demolition in that season's Orange Bowl, a 70-33 loss to West Virginia. So far, more of the same. But since then, the Tigers have won fewer than 11 games only once, and that was 10 wins in 2014, the year before Clemson officially rejoined the exclusive club it was escorted out of in the very early 90s. I don't know how successful schools wind up in this purgatory where great isn't great enough and big and wealthy isn't big and wealthy enough, but Clemson found a way to cross back over. And what are the odds? 3 starters on defense from Clemson's 1981 national champions would have two sons and a nephew. Those kids would eventually grow up and play football. Only after Clemson signed those two sons and a nephew did the Tigers finally win the two championships that had eluded them since the two fathers and an uncle had starred there 35-plus years earlier. Three guys on defense won a national championship in 1981, and not until their descendants grew up and joined the team would their school break their long drought. That is what it says in the yearbook. That's not a tagline. It's just kind of the way it ended.